lifestyle. Like, it's something that we learn and we grow in, and as we grow in and we learn, over time we start to live with all people in a forgiving way. I would even say forgiveness becomes as kind of natural and normal as walking around, as eating, as talking, and then forgiving. That's kind of how it works. And we start all the way back to Genesis, which we did quite a bit of in our last series. But I want to start in Genesis because I want to kind of open up this little part of Genesis to you. And when we start a relationship with someone, which comes out of Genesis chapter 1, we'll talk about that in a second, we actually make a promise with each other. And you don't really think this. You don't sit in a relationship with a friend or, you know, somebody that you're really into and you like, or you're dating, or you may marry or anything like that. We don't necessarily say these words. But at the core of these words, what we are doing is saying this: in a world of uncertainty, and there is a lot of uncertainty in this world, in a world of uncertainty, I want you to know you can count on me. This is a statement of loyalty, and if you actually read through the Old Testament, you will find this loyalty all the time from God to us, and he asks us to give it to each other. In a world of uncertainty, you can count on me. And kind of where this started, where this loyalty started, was Genesis 1. I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I want to kind of put up a reminder of the Trinitarian understanding of God. And if you want to know the kind of the deep, you know, rooted understanding of what the journey believes in, there's a lot of things the journey kind of talks about and thinks about, but at its core, kind of our core things are grace and the Trinity. We buy into those two things so much that you'll hear us talk about them quite a bit. Grace is that God loves you no matter what. The Trinity says that God is in relationship within himself. And so you can see it up there, these three parts: the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1, we see kind of the beginning conversation about this. You see God kind of talking to the Godhead. And there is Father, Son, Holy Spirit all in the creation story. And the way they say it is, let us, and it is this plural idea as they are finishing up creation. Let us make mankind, let us make humans in our image, in the three of us, our relationship, our likeness. So that's what God did, created mankind in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. We are created in this type of relationship to be part of those three. Now, you don't probably walk around thinking like this, but this is how we're supposed to be thinking. That as we walk around, as we talk, when we're relationships with people, doing work, whatever you do today, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, you're part of them. And when other people are part of them, there is a depth of relationship. And then we start to see loyalty. I see the loyalty there, and then I also start to want to be loyal to other people. I kind of think of this as having a very single path then, and I'll put the way I see this. I see this as there's this single path I'm supposed to live by, that in a world of uncertainty, when somebody hurts me, which happens a lot, when somebody hurts me, I am supposed to be in such a loyal relationship with God that I understand how I'm supposed to treat other people, and I go to this place of forgiveness and love. In Genesis 1, this is the singular path. This is it. It's the only path you get. You should be a forgiving person and a loving person. This path leads to inner peace, but even more importantly, outer peace. We're not always upset at people. We're not always angry. We don't have angst. We don't have to think of that name or something that happened to us a long time ago and start to feel this thing. I always think of marriage as an example. I'm so vulnerable with my wife that it actually means my wife has the greatest capacity to hurt me. There is nobody else who can hurt me quite as bad as my wife can because she knows me so well. This also starts to happen if we have good parents, children, siblings, friends. But when we live in love and forgiveness, when we go to that understanding of what that path looks like, even if you hurt me, even if those closest to me hurt me, my natural tendency should be, I forgive you. I know what it means to love. I want to have that inner peace. I want to have that outer peace. This all changes drastically. Genesis 3, where we talked about the fall, we talked about it on Easter Sunday and a couple weeks even after Easter Sunday. Genesis 1 or Genesis 3, where it talks about the fall, is really the fall of humanity from God. It's not until Genesis 4 we see the fall of humanity from each other. This is where Cain and Abel have their big brouhaha as siblings, sometimes do. And when siblings have this big brouhaha, what happens is someone gets mad at the other person. And sometimes even, like Cain does, he kills his brother. He kills Abel. Now, most of you have not killed your siblings. Anybody that did? Raise your hands. A couple of you? Okay. Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. No, but we probably don't kill our siblings, but some of us kind of, they're dead to us. I know people have this. Some of us have parents, they're dead to us. Some of us have children, they're dead to us. Somebody of us have friends, and they're dead to us. We just have kind of cut people off. And it's not just that, you know, we've said, oh, we need boundaries with those people. I can understand that at times, but it's almost like I am not forgiving that person. That person's gone too far. That all starts in Genesis 4. This is the opposite of this forgiveness and love. And here's how it changes so drastically. We get to this guy called Lamech, L-A-M-E-C-H. If anyone who kills Cain can be punished seven times, that is what God actually said, because people saw Cain kill Abel. They're like, we should, I guess, kill Cain. And God said, no. Don't kill Cain. Just please don't kill Cain. I will not forgive that. Nobody in the world should kill Cain. Lamech comes in and says, hey, if we're supposed to be punished if you kill Cain seven times, anyone taking revenge against Lamech, and by the way, this is him talking, should be punished 77 times. Now, who is Lamech? Well, he was the great-grandson of Cain. He's in the line of Cain. And I don't know generationally what's going on here, but this guy had some problems. And he is basically saying that you are punished 77 times. I get revenge against you 77 times if you hurt me. This actually becomes the normal way people think. 77 times. You keep hurting me, I'm going to keep seeking revenge. Cain, after killing his brother, now starts this new way of how we deal with other human beings. This actually gets called the law of Lamech. I'll put it up here. This law is new. It says, in a world of uncertainty, if you hurt me, I will hurt you. This becomes so normalized, we see it in Deuteronomy 19:21. I mean, we've all heard these kind of things. Show no pity. None. Life for life. You kill me, I kill you. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Hand for hand. Foot for foot. You do anything to me, I'm going to go against you. And it may not be literal. I may not literally, you kill me, I kill you. You hurt me, I hurt you. It may be you hurt me, I punish you internally. We're done. I kind of wipe my hands free of you. Things have never been the same since here, Genesis 4. That feeling you get when you're upset at someone and you don't know what to do with it, Genesis 4. That's where it all started. Unforgiveness now becomes the normal way of doing things on earth. Humans hold grudges now. Humans are not in a relationship with God quite as close now. Everything shifts. We start to see people as evil now. It's not just, oh, we're all in this kind of human race and they're trying to figure things out with God. It's like, no, they're bad and I'm good because they did something wrong. It's seen in families, sometimes for generations, just like we do with Cain and Lamech. And it's super hard to break that cycle. If you've ever thought about this, or never thought about this, you might go back in your family cycle and start to see, oh, some of the same things that are going on in my generation went on two generations before me, three generations before me. It's really hard to break this stuff. And so now there's two paths that emerge. On one side, we get that forgiveness and love side, but on that other side, we get revenge and bitterness. It's a very easy path to go down. I will tell you, I said last week, some people just like to have enemies because it feels good. It does. To go down the revenge and bitterness path, to have enemies that are bad and you can say they're bad, it only makes us feel good about ourselves. I like that feeling. I get that feeling. When you go down this road, what you basically say is, I'm good with everybody else. You might even say, everybody here at the Journey, I'm good with all these people, but I'm not good with blank. Or maybe there's a couple people. But when you start down this path, Jesus says this road leads to destruction. This actually starts to become our lifestyle. Now, you may think you're compartmentalizing this. You might be like, oh, I like all these people. Everybody likes me. They all are like, I'm a nice person. But man, this person, revenge and bitterness. I don't like this person. And we think, well, that doesn't touch any other part of our life. And Jesus says, not so. It actually touches everything. I watch people slowly become more unforgiving in their lifestyle, more bitter in life, because just one or two people they won't forgive. They start to get affected emotionally. They start to get affected mentally. They start to get affected spiritually. I've seen people get physically sick because they go down the revenge and bitterness road and they cannot stop. And it just churns in them. And what they do is, because they don't like that feeling and they don't know what to do with it, and they know it's not good, they keep justifying it. Here's why. Here's why. And it's nice that Lamech gave us 77 times we can punish people. So we're like, yeah, here's why, and here's why, and here's why. I've had people write down all the reasons this other person's horrible, up to 77 times. If we talked last week then about resolving conflict well, if you didn't listen to that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. If we talk about that last week, now we get to this place where we've got to say, if I resolve conflict well, from Matthew 18:15, that's the passage we used. And I use that verse as a guide. What does it then look like to actually forgive? Resolving conflict is people we're already kind of in relationship with. I said last week that brings intimacy. Well, when Jesus told them, this is how you resolve conflict, Matthew 18:15, he goes and says, this is exactly how you do it. He gives them, if you remember last week, 7 steps on how to resolve conflict well. 6 verses later, Matthew 18:21, 6 verses later, Peter's hearing all of this. He's like, okay, so I have conflict with people. I want to renew intimacy. I go to them alone. I talk to them about it. We deal with it. Okay, I got all that. But there's something sitting in the back of Peter's head. So he goes up to Jesus, and he says this. All right, Jesus, I heard your conflict story. But Lord, I'm going to ask you this question. How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Like, I need to know. Because I'm hearing you talk about conflict, but there's some people I don't really want to resolve the conflict. They're unlikable. They're enemies. I want to keep them punished within myself. How far do I have to go? And then he adds this little line at the end. Up to 7 times. How many times do I have to forgive someone who hurts me? When can we just move on from forgiving? When can we just be done? I don't know if you've thought of a person or two yet in your head. Probably for some of you, a name came up pretty quick. Maybe you stopped forgiving them a long time ago. Or maybe right now you're just kind of churning a little bit as I'm talking about it because you're remembering some of the stuff. Or maybe you're kind of wanting to get out of your chair and leave. And you're like, I don't want to forgive that person. Are you kidding me? It's a great question, though. By the time of Jesus, the rabbis had tried to figure this out. So they came up with a number. They actually gave you a number on how many times you had to forgive. In Jewish rabbinic tradition, this is from Amos in the Talmud. It basically said you have to forgive someone up to 3 times. It's actually quite a bit if you think about it. I mean, consider that you tell someone a really deep, dark secret. Somebody you're close to, you go, oh, here's the secret, here's everything, and you tell them. They hear your secret, and they go and gossip and tell somebody else. Okay, so that's what happens. And you see this happen, and you hear about it, and you're hurt, and you go up and confront them, and you resolve the conflict, and they say you're sorry, and you say, I forgive you. 1 time. And then you have another big secret. And you go to them and you go, hey, okay, we figured all that out. I'm going to trust you again. You do it again. And they do it again. And they go tell somebody and they gossip about you. This is just called like family Thanksgiving, family reunions. This happens all the time, right? You know, people go and tell people, did you hear about so-and-so? And you're upset. And so you go confront them. They say they're sorry. You forgive them. And then a third time, you have another secret. Now, I just want to say to you, why are you going back to that person? But that's your problem. You go back to them and do it a third time. And this just keeps happening. And the rabbinic tradition says, you know what? Three times, you're done. You don't have to forgive them. You can go back to punishing them. It's finished. So when Peter comes in and says seven times, this is a lot. This is double plus one. I mean, this is a lot of times of forgiveness. It's impressive. Seven in the Bible stands for complete. Peter's saying, do I completely forgive someone even when they continue to hurt me? And Jesus has an answer immediately. He said, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Now, I promise you, everybody knew when he says 77 times, they know he's referencing what happened in Genesis 4. The story of Cain and Abel, all the way down to the great-grandson Lamech, this is a very well-known idea in Jewish tradition. They know this. They know what he's talking about. So he says 77 times. He's basically pushing against this path of revenge and bitterness. Jesus comes more than anything to reverse this horrible trend that people are going to revenge. But more importantly, they're going to inner turmoil. They have a really hard time. They don't feel peace. This was the life Jesus led. Now, you might say, Jesus, maybe on that 78th time, you can finally curse the person, but Jesus says 77 on purpose. All Jewish people know that the law of Lamech gave them permission to not forgive, to not provide grace, to choose revenge instead. You get these two paths. It is our choice as well. 77 acts of forgiveness is not a number that we count to. You should not keep a little, like, you know, log of all the times people have hurt you. It's actually the opposite. It basically means you should have such a lifestyle that you live in forgiveness, that you have these two paths you can go on, and you've been given permission to go down this path of revenge and bitterness. And how's it going for you? Is it working? Do you like feeling like that? If you do, I promise you, it's hurting you. It's hurting you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even physically. And Jesus said, no, there's another lifestyle. There's another attitude. There's another way to live. Now, some of you are going, yeah, but Michael, you don't know some of the people that have hurt me. As if you've got the greatest pain of anyone in the room, including myself. The reality is, people have hurt all of us, and I get that it's to varying degrees, but we have all been hurt. And for whatever capacity we can handle it, some of us have been hurt so badly, we sit in revenge and bitterness. We're not sure what to do with it. And we all have this same choice. One of the kind of secrets I've learned is the more I developed a heart of forgiveness and love, which for me, I will tell you, was a hard thing. And I sense myself sometimes going back to the revenge and bitterness because it does feel good. And it's like I have to course correct and go, no. This is how you want to live. This is, I get it. That person's tough. This is how you want to live. The more you develop a heart of forgiveness and love, I have found the less likely I am to be hurt by other people. Even when people hurt me, even when people do things that are kind of devastating to me. I've had something happen just in the last few months that was pretty devastating to me. Even when I get hurt like that, over time, there's a natural inclination towards forgiveness and love. It's like you automatically go to that place. Anne Lamott, who I quoted a few weeks ago, I want to quote her again. She said, I went around saying for a long time that I'm not one of those Christians who's heavily into forgiveness, that I'm kind of one of the other kind. She goes, but even though it was funny, you know, and it was actually kind of true, it started to be too painful to stay this way. Oh, stay on that phrase. It started to be too painful to stay this way. It doesn't work. In fact, kind of a famous line, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. On the other side, Lewis Smedes, great theologian. When you forgive someone, you're dancing to the rhythm of the divine heartbeat. When you start to go towards the way of forgiveness, what happens is you start to become back in that relationship with the Holy Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit imbibe the way you live. You can't help but see people in a more positive, loving way. So last week I got as practical as I could. I'm going to close getting as practical as I can. I'm going to give you what forgiving is not and what forgiving is as simple as possible, because you may have some questions. So first one I'm going to do is what forgiving is not, because you might be asking. Forgiving is not excusing behavior. There is still wrong behavior by all of us. There's bad behavior. People do things that are very hurtful and painful. That does not get excused. That is not what forgiveness is. Forgiving is not forgetting. Some people assume since they remember an offense, they have not forgiven. I have a weirdly good memory. I can remember ways people have hurt me from years and years and years ago. Sometimes things I've forgiven come back, they flood back in. And it's just a reminder that, okay, just because I didn't forget it, I'm going to remind myself I've still forgiven. My brain may remember an offense, but we still may have forgiven it. And then that last one's pretty important. Forgiving is not reconciling. We may not always reunite with someone after we forgive. We may not be all, okay, everything's happy and we're all good and we're all going to be close again. Sometimes there's reasons people need some space. Some relationships need some space. But forgiveness is a non-negotiable for Jesus. Reconciliation is sometimes unavailable. Forgiveness for you to a person is always available. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is understanding. It is relating to where other people are at in this human journey we're all in, rather than going for revenge. A lifestyle of forgiveness sees people as they are, broken, fragile, messed up, hurting you. And in our own way, we're pretty broken and fragile and messed up, and we've hurt people. And it's the height of arrogance for any of us to think we have not hurt other people. It is the height of arrogance not to realize that there's people that have forgiven us. They've had a lifestyle of forgiveness for us, even when we didn't deserve it. What forgiveness is an attitude, not just something I do. It's this way I kind of live. And so I would ask you to think about this for a moment. Do you take offense too easily? Do other people hurt you too easily? You might even get kind of a little specific with this. Are there certain types of people that hurt you too easily? One of my favorite questions for people is someone, they'll just tell me, they'll be like, oh, I don't like this person. They'll tell me all the reasons they don't like this person. And I always just ask them, really gently, I go, do they remind you of anybody in your family? And they're like, yeah, my mom, my dad, my older brother, my older sister. I'm like, huh, maybe that's the person you need to deal with. Maybe it's just these type of people, these type of personalities are really, really causing you problems, because the root of forgiveness you need is for that person. Do you feel slighted too easy? Do you get too angry? Do you feel anxiety at too high of a level? I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. As anxiety comes down, it's because our relationship and our forgiveness and grace goes up. And so the last thing I say is forgiveness is a process. 77 times is what Lamech said. 77 times is what Jesus says to Peter. I always like to think of that as a process of forgiving. For me, I say a simple prayer of forgiveness. I would encourage you to say a simple prayer of forgiveness. The prayer is this: God, I forgive, and I say the name. I don't say a bunch of stuff. I don't say what I've forgiven them for, because there's a lot of feelings I have about it. So I just say, God, I forgive blank, and I give the name. But what I find is, even after I've forgiven someone, anger and revenge and bitterness may well up again. So sometimes I have to say it multiple times a day. This week, I remembered one person in particular I did this with. It was years ago. I was so upset at them. I was so mad. I just was having a hard time not wanting to talk bad about them to other people that knew them. I was having a hard time not dealing internally with why this happened. I felt a sense of like injustice. Why did I deserve this? My ego was going up. And I started this process. God, I forgive blank. And as I started to say that, even when the anger and the revenge and the bitterness would well up again, I would say it again. God, I forgive. And I'd put the name. Over time, I would start to say, God, I have forgiven this person already. I've already forgiven them. Please let us both live in peace. And what I was doing was I was asking the Holy Spirit to come in and work on me in this. Because I can't do it on my own. On my own, I always want to go to revenge and bitterness. But with the Holy Spirit working on us, us in that relationship with God, things change. I change. You can change. So as the worship team comes up to lead us, and we go to the table today, I want to give one more passage from Ephesians 4. Chelsea read it earlier. Basically, why we are called by Jesus to have a lifestyle of forgiveness. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul says this, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, and forgive each other just as Christ, in Christ God forgave you." Basically, a very simple theology here. Why am I called to forgive? I am called to forgive, and you might even say Paul is saying, I command you to forgive. You have to forgive. Why? Because in Jesus, you have been forgiven by God. God came down, that part of the Trinity, to live among us, not just to die for us, but to forgive us, to give us that type of love. We forgive when we understand just how much we've been forgiven. And so I say this really simple to you. If you don't think you need to forgive, it's because you don't understand how much God has forgiven you. That's where our egos get too big. I think I don't have to forgive that person. It's as if on a scale of 1 to 10, God only had to forgive me about a 3. But that person's like an 8. And we don't realize that God looks at us and goes, you're a 10. You are a 10. You might even be an 11. Like, you need to understand how much God has forgiven you. When you get that, when you get how much God loves you and has forgiven you, you will look at other people differently. And you will forgive them. So I'm going to ask you to consider doing the hard thing this morning. Maybe one of those names that came up, someone who has hurt you, someone you're upset at, someone you're mad at, maybe it was from this last week, maybe it was from 10 years ago. Forgive them. At least start. Maybe it's a mom or a dad who hurt you. Maybe it's a child that's difficult or rebellious. Maybe like Cain and Abel, you have a sibling that's brought you pain. Or maybe an old friend that's rejected you, or a boss that treated you poorly, or a neighbor who is really difficult. Whoever this is, whoever these people are, I'm going to encourage you to take 30 seconds and start the process of forgiving them. So in whatever way feels comfortable, take a moment of prayer with me. Ask the Holy Spirit just within yourself to bring change to you, to bring peace to you. And say this simple prayer to God. I desire to forgive, and put that name in there. If you're up for it, you can say, I do forgive, I forgive. But if you're not ready for that, that's okay. At least start. I desire. And tell God, say, I desire God to forgive, and put that name there. And as you stay in a place of prayer, ask God to bring both of you peace, to calm the inner turmoil, to make you more emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically healthy. If you're not sure what to pray, you might even just take a moment and thank God for His forgiveness of you. That God's given you hope, and you can know joy now because God has forgiven you. And when you're ready, go to the table and take the bread and dip into the wine and place the elements into your mouth. And be reminded at the Eucharist table, what you're always finding is forgiveness. That the death and resurrection of Christ is about Christ showing forgiveness. A new way of life, a new hope. Go to the table today. Embrace Christ's forgiveness. See it as a lifestyle. God, as we come to the table, I thank you for your life, your death, your resurrection. The ultimate lifestyle of forgiveness is you. I think about the night that you gave the Eucharist, the first time you did communion with your friends, and right there at that table was Judas. And you participated, and you knew. And you couldn't help but be a forgiving God. This is hard for all of us, God, and so we ask that you will change us, because we can't do it on our own. We ask that you will help us with the people that are really difficult, people we think of as our own Judas. Fill us with your love as we go to the table. Fill us with your love as we meet you. And God, ultimately, let us reflect your forgiveness to others. It's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen. The tables are open. Go when you're ready.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness.